You would know by now that Medibank, the big health insurance provider, is the latest Australian company to be hit by a cyber attack. It seems to be happening more and more, doesn't it? Of course, Optus being absolutely dominating the headlines over the last couple of weeks with their cyber attack and that data breach. Not a lot is known just yet about Medibank. They have just referred it in the last 24 hours or so. They've referred this matter to the Australian Federal Police, so we'll no doubt know more as it unfolds. Thought it was very, very timely to have a chat to our next guest. His name is Professor Carsten Rudolph. He's with the Department of Software Systems and Cyber Security in the Faculty of Information Technology at Monash University down in Melbourne. Professor Rudolph, first of all, just your response to this latest cyber attack. Are we going to be seeing this type of thing happen more and more?
Yeah, hi, Gavin. Yeah, there's a lot of data around, and criminals are more and more interested in trying to somehow get money out of that. And I mean, we see with the Medibank attack that it's really criminal activity to then ask for ransom and actually blackmail a company. So I guess as soon as there's money involved, we probably will see more of that.
Are we just hearing about these attacks more? I mean, obviously this issue of cybersecurity and cyber attacks have been around for probably as long as the internet has been around, but it just seems it's really hit the headlines in Australia in recent weeks.
Well, there have been a lot of attacks over the years. The bigger ones in Australia are probably a bit newer, but we have seen internationally, we have seen lots of attacks. And in terms of that type of data that we might find with Medibank, there was one in 2020 in Finland where a company running mental health support was hacked, and basically all the discussions with their patients and everything that was recorded was stolen, and then individual people were blackmailed
right.
by the criminals. So that was a very bad case. Yeah. Imagine the data that you would find on mental health.
And I guess that's the fear, isn't it, for individuals, is that it's one thing for a big company like an Optus or a Medibank to be the subject of a cyber attack. But like you said, when it gets down to that individual level, if these criminals have got your personal data and there's some extortion involved there, I think that's what people are really frightened about.
Yeah, indeed. And it's also where I think for people it's difficult because you don't have any control over it. You don't probably even know what kind of data is stored.
Really interested to talk to you about some of your thoughts there, where you say that we actually need to move beyond this thinking about how we protect critical data sets, so move beyond just protection, move towards a strategy of data minimization. Just talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, protection is absolutely important, and there's no doubt about that. We need to improve that. But with the complexity of the systems we have, there seems to be a high chance that we will not be 100% perfect. We might make it more difficult, but eventually somebody might get access to the data. So the question is a bit, can we minimize the risk if somebody gets access? Mm. So what do we actually need to store in order to deliver the services that we want to have? There seem to be kind of a bit like a gold rush mentality to say, okay, let's store as much data as possible because eventually there might be value in it and we might get a new business case and then we can use that data. Mm. And that is a dangerous thing to do. I think we should revise that and see that we actually store exactly the data we really need for what we want to do. And if we need to retain data for a longer time, maybe we can take it off the internet and don't make it easily accessible.
It's such a good point because, I mean, they ask for so much information that if you refuse or decline, as is your right, I mean, you don't become eligible to sign up for the service. So it's a really interesting point you make there.
Yeah, the problem is a bit that you don't get a choice. So you don't get the choice to say, okay, I choose to take, let's say, less comfortable or less powerful application or a different type of service by not providing that much information. If I provide more, maybe I get something where that data is required for, but usually it's just a yes or no decision. You just decide, okay, I want to go ahead or not.
Do they really require that much information? Are there other ways, other things that they can do? Can they store the data for a shorter period of time, for example?
There's different ways we can do. From the research side, we do have solutions actually for quite some time that would enable, for example, data to be encrypted in ways that if somebody gets access to it, they might get a small part of the data, but then because each individual data record would need to be decrypted. There would be much more time, or also different ways to detect if somebody tries to access a large amount of data. So these kind of solutions do in principle exist, but they're not included in the normal applications yet.
And that's why I find it so strange. I mean, Medibank, as the latest example, they almost don't know exactly what has been stolen here. Is it because, as you said, they're just all one big mass database, and so it's difficult for them to know exactly what's been taken? It needs to be broken up more, is what you're saying, in simplistic ways. I mean, it just seems very, very odd to me that these companies, often it takes them many, many days to find out exactly what has been stolen.
I mean, that's not really surprising, because if somebody hacks into a large enterprise network, then they usually will try to not leave a lot of traces. And usually a forensic investigation of that kind of incident can take weeks and weeks. So it's not that you have a log file and you look at it and you can directly see what has happened. If a hacker had access for a bit of time, they probably would have changed that kind of logging information as well. If they get access to something like an Active Directory where all your logins are stored and all the access rights you have, they might give them rights to lots of different parts of the network and different applications. So it's actually really a difficult and tedious job to go through all these logs and really identify what exactly has happened.
Well, Medibank has more than 3.7 million customers, so I guess that's a fair point to say that, depending on how much data was stolen, of course, that is quite a big job. I mean, should we be worried if you're... This came up, of course, with an Optus customer. I was one of those who got the email from Optus saying your personal data may have been accessed. Should we be worried if you're a customer of Medibank? Is there anything at all that we can do to protect ourselves?
Yeah, look, as soon as that has happened, there's nothing you can really do. Yeah. And also, you don't have access to that information that actually Medibank stores about you. So there's not a lot, really, you can do. I mean, what can happen, let's say, and I don't know what data was stolen and what data Medibank actually stored,
yes,
but let's say it was health information about you, and suddenly you would get an email out of nowhere from somebody saying, oh, we know all this about you, and they show you that information, and they say, yeah, I'm going to release that to the public if it's some critical information, and we ask you to pay some ransom, and then we don't. And that's the moment where you should probably contact Australian Federal Police as well.
Wow, it's very, very scary stuff. The other interesting final point I wanted to chat to you about, Professor Rudolph, is the workforce in this cyber security space. Obviously, there is going to be increasing need now that there is such front and center awareness of these cyber attacks. Finding enough skilled professionals, enough skilled labor to take on this work, to help companies, guide them through, you know, better, as you said, not only better protection, but also potential data minimization. What about the workforce in the cybersecurity space? What challenges are there in that field?
Well, we do have quite a few degrees, and also the TAFEs have courses, more hands-on trainings, etc. So there's a lot happening, but it doesn't seem to be enough. One challenge is the diversity of tasks that we have in that area. When we do have all these penetration testers, hackers, incident response type of people, but that's all really only a very small part of the workforce we need. There's a framework called the NICE framework that was also taken up by the Australian government, originally coming from the US, which has already identified 52 different pathways in cybersecurity.
Right, 52.
Pathways.
52.
Yeah, and that's not even everything, because it doesn't look at, let's say, cybersecurity people for digital health or others in energy networks, etc. So there's probably other roles as well. So we really need to extend the way we teach cybersecurity to also cover all these different areas.
The federal government surely needs to step up here in terms of that data minimization, in terms of the information that these companies can ask us for, the ability to opt out or just opt in at certain levels. Surely the feds need to do more in this space.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the focus is a bit on digital development, trying to get the most out of sharing data and enable more businesses, to Australian business, to benefit from that. And that is probably also necessary because we don't want to fall behind internationally and don't actually be part of that economy. But we need to really extend that with giving people that informed choice of actually participating and in the way they want to participate, and also give the choices to be part of it without taking the big risks.
Fantastic insights. Professor Carsten Rudolph, he's with the Department of Software Systems and Cybersecurity at Monash University. Thanks for your time on the King Review today.
Thank you. Good to chat.